If you could be anybody, who would you be? I used to spend an inordinate amount of time pondering that question. I was obsessed with the fantasy of changing my identity because I wanted to be anybody but me. I had a good career as a cell biologist and medical school professor, but that didn't make up for the fact that my personal life was, at best, a shambles. The harder I tried to find happiness and satisfaction in my personal life, the more dissatisfied and unhappy I became. In my reflective moments, I resolved to surrender to my unhappy life. I decided that fate had dealt me a bad hand and I should simply accept it. Que sera, sera. In the fall of 1985, my depressed, fatalistic attitude changed in one transformational moment. I had resigned my tenured position at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and was teaching at an offshore medical college in the Caribbean. Because the school was so far from the academic mainstream, I had the opportunity to think outside the rigid parameters of belief that prevail in conventional academia. Far from the ivory towers, isolated on an emerald island in the deep azure Caribbean Sea, I experienced a scientific epiphany that shattered my beliefs about the nature of life. My life-changing moment occurred while I was reviewing my research on the mechanisms by which cells control their physiology and behavior. Suddenly, I realized that a cell's life is fundamentally controlled by the physical and energetic environment, with only a small contribution by its genes. Genes are simply molecular blueprints used in the construction of cells, tissues, and organs. The environment serves as a contractor who reads and engages those genetic blueprints and is ultimately responsible for the character of a cell's life. It is a single cell's awareness of the environment that primarily sets into motion the mechanisms of life. As a cell biologist, I knew that my insights had powerful ramifications for my life and the lives of all human beings. I was acutely aware that each of us is made up of approximately 50 trillion single cells. I had devoted my professional life to better understanding single cells because I knew then, and know now, that the better we understand single cells, the better we can understand the community of cells that comprises each human body, and that if single cells are controlled by their awareness of the environment, so too are we trillion-celled human beings. Just like a single cell, the character of our lives is determined not by our genes, but by our responses to the environmental signals that propel life. On the one hand, this new understanding of the nature of life was a jolt. For close to two decades, I had been programming biology's central dogma, the belief that life is controlled by genes, into the minds of medical students. On the other hand, my new understanding was not a complete surprise. I had always had niggling doubts about genetic determinism. Some of those doubts stemmed from my 18 years of government-funded research on cloning stem cells. Though it took a sojourn outside of traditional academia for me to fully realize it, my research at that time, 1985, offered incontrovertible proof that biology's most cherished tenets regarding genetic determinism were fundamentally flawed. My new understanding of the nature of life not only corroborated my stem cell research, but also, I realized, contradicted another belief of mainstream science of that time. I had been propounding to my students the belief that allopathic medicine is the only kind of medicine that merits consideration in medical school. By finally giving the energy-based environment its due, it provided for a grand convergence uniting the science and practice of allopathic medicine, complementary medicine, and the spiritual wisdom of ancient and modern faiths. On a personal level, I knew at the moment of insight that I had gotten myself stuck simply by believing that I was fated to have a spectacularly unsuccessful personal life. There is no doubt that human beings have a great capacity for sticking to false beliefs with great passion and tenacity, and hyper-rational scientists are not immune.